gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 92 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. Good golly, Miss Molly, there was some behind the scenes concern that I maybe not going to make it mere seconds before the show started.
I was prepared to, you know, channel my best Jim and, you know, muster all the false enthusiasm that I could to introduce this episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared.
And I have wrestled it back into my control. Anyway, sorry.
That was very possessive of you. I see.
This is comicbook.com's official Pokemon podcast where we talk about all things Pokemon. And wow, this is a week.
It is a week.
Normally, this show is broken up into three parts. We have a new section, then we take a break, and then we do a deep dive, and then we have a Pokemon fact of the week. There is so much news this week that we said, get out of town, deep dive, because we're talking all news all the time today.
This week, the news is the deep dive.
Exactly. Right. We're just blowing your minds over here.
Let's just get right into it.
There's so much news on this rundown sheet.
Without even introducing anybody who's on the show.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm Jim Biscardi. That's Christian. That's Megan. If you're new to the show, normally we are less crazed at the start, maybe. We love this. We love this. I almost said a naughty word. We love this stuff. We hope you love it too. And we are, we gotta jump right into it.
Please.
Big Pokemon Go stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Big Pokemon Go news. First and foremost, did anyone get a shiny Roselia last night or yesterday? Wasn't exactly last night, like pre Super Bowl. I caught two during community.
I got one.
I actually got a not really crap or cruddy, excuse me, a pretty decent IV Roselia that was shiny, and so I evolved that into Roserod. So community day was last weekend. If you missed it, too bad. But you can participate in the Lunar New Year event, which starts up, tomorrow. Tomorrow, because now this episode goes live on podcast same day.
That's right. Sure does. Oh, did we just lost Christian. He just disappeared.
Oh my gosh, guys, we have witnessed an absolute miracle. I don't know if it's a miracle or not.
We have just yeeted Christian from the show. I'm sure he'll come back later, but I'm sure what he was trying to say, you know what I bet happened? He probably closed a window, but that's fine.
Absolutely. For sure his fault.
Love this. Okay. Anyway, we'll come back to that because I think he was the one who was going to kind of talk about the Lunar New Year stuff. So as soon as he pops back in, we'll get there. But I wanted to talk about, it made big news yesterday. And Rival John, that I 100% agree. That's what he gets for mispronouncing Roserade.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey.
I'm sorry. Well, I went to pull up the stuff about Lunar New Year, and I pulled it up on our web app that we use to stream this thing.
Oh, good.
Well, we were correct. Yes. It was your fault. It was 900% Hopper's fault.
What did I miss? What did I miss in the last 30 seconds?
Nothing. I was about to jump to Logan Paul, but you can go back to talking about the Lunar New Year event.
Red Pokemon, Tauros.
Yep.
The big thing is Tauros, if you don't live in North America, you'll have a chance of getting Tauros as part of special research because it is the year of the ox.
That's right.
Also, a bunch of red or red adjacent Pokemon will be featured in this event. That includes Krabby, Goldeen's not red, Magmar, Magikarp, Miltank, also not red, Meditite, I don't even think that there's anything that could be classified as red. That is a blue and white Pokemon. and Tepig, also not red.
The majority of those Pokemon are not red.
So other things are, if you get any 5-kilometer eggs during this event, it will have various Pokemon that are associated with members of the Chinese Zodiac, like, you know, animals from the Chinese Zodiac. The big thing is Mega Gyarados will be introduced this week. So okay, that is
what I was wondering.
That is a thing. So yeah, so that
everyone's favorite, like, super scary.
That thing is the Pokemon of our nightmares.
Better way to celebrate the new year, though, honestly. Yeah. Lunar New Year, just your, like, sleep paralysis demon, basically. Showing up in your games.
The thing I think is the creepiest thing about Mega Gyarados is the fact that it's got this, like, big, beefy body, but it's still Gyarados's head. So it looks like basically one of those Galar fossil Pokemon. They've taken Gyarados's head and placed it on, like, you know, a kaiju, like, fish kaiju. And it, like, utterly terrifies me. But yeah, I don't quite understand the choices that were made when picking featured Pokemon for the Lunar New Year, but that is coming. That is coming. Also, there was a data mine that, you know, a new update came out, and we're getting some stuff here soon. Some much needed changes.
Like what?
Like what?
Form changes. Form changes are are coming. Thank goodness. So coming soon, they will enact the ability for Pokemon to change forms. It looks like there will be different methods. It may involve some Stardust. It may involve like specific items. It may involve like a quest, kind of like what you have to do for Sirfetch'd. But you know, that'll allow you to change Giratina and
am I gonna have to catch a new Giratina, or will my existing Giratina work?
I think it'll be existing Giratina. I mean, this is all data mined, so who knows? Sure. They might rapidly change everything.
That's true. This could all just be a giant troll.
Yeah, like, you know,
data miners got you.
We got you there. But yeah, so that's a thing. Finally, I think that's about it on the Pokemon Go front.
Nice. All right. Well, I was about to jump into, you know, obviously Pokemon trading card game bonanza still running wild. So much so that in a weird, what looks to be advertorial kind of thing, Logan Paul has made a $2 million Pokemon trading card game purchase. Mm-hmm. He has picked up a number of first edition. Is it a mix? I think it's a mix of first edition boxes and regular.
Yeah, I think
first series boxes.
I think there's six of them. I'm not 100% sure if all of them are first edition. You have to understand, I do not have 40 minutes of my life to dedicate towards Logan Paul videos. So I just skipped to the end, which featured them celebrating about the fact that they were selling off these card packs. I don't know. I personally think this is Logan Paul is spending his money because he keeps calling out Conor McGregor, and Conor McGregor will likely kill him.
Listen.
I am not a Conor McGregor stan by any stretch of the imagination, but when I compare Conor McGregor's like martial prowess compared to Logan Paul's martial prowess, like that would be like me fighting Machoke.
Well, and okay.
No hard cold bar combat.
But here's the interesting thing. These boxes, you know, I think we're getting to the point where less and less of these boxes are going to be made available. So much so that you're starting to see a rise in Team Rocket boxes or Neo Genesis boxes and things like that. And so it'll be interesting to see the cards that he pulls out of these, it may be a thing where, you know, I don't want to say it's safe to assume he'll get a Charizard, but, you know, I mean, there may be one left in this set of six boxes. And then at that point, like, look, these are people who he's been buying them for, people who've been holding them onto them for a really long time. And so we may be seeing the final days of the, I think there will always be a bonanza for base set stuff, but we may be seeing the, like, you know, truly kind of final days of people pulling these from packs or from boxes. I think given the rise in popularity and the amount that people have pulled out of the woodwork for this stuff, even Even blisters are starting to become harder to come by. The boxes are becoming harder to come by, even on eBay. They're really only being sold within, you know, private groups or just people who do it. And it really kind of all goes back to when we had Jeremy Padua on the show, where he said, like, look, inevitably the later box sets, if the heat is still on this stuff, is really going to start. And so I'm actually kind of excited. Like, there was a big sale on a Typhlosion, I think, just recently. And like, so we're going to start seeing a lot of those second, third gen or Pokemon that debuted in those cards really start to come up. And actually, it's that part to me is that feels a bit more exciting, because I think the diehard people throwing around mega money don't necessarily care about some of the later gen stuff. And so I think you're going to kind of see a reclaiming of horses. It's the second time I've used that. Well, today.
I do have to wonder, though, like, how much of this is necessarily like false inflation, because we have people like Logan Paul and a ton of these YouTubers who have just $2 billion in their pockets.
Big bucks. Drop
on. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious how long, because I mean, YouTube is YouTube. Trends last 6 months and then they're forgotten about for the rest of their lives. So I'm curious how long this trend will last with such high publicity, with, you know, high spenders on YouTube who are willing to be so public with their unboxings and their general hype for Pokemon. Because a lot of that is what's pushing the perceived market for these boxes, and is now leading to a greater, you know, secondhand market for later generation box sets and special cards and holos. So I think that's going to be interesting to see. I think ultimately, obviously, this ends with the TCG, you know, secondhand market being reclaimed by quote unquote fans. But I'm curious how far this is going to go.
I first and foremost, so Megan, are you suggesting that the Pokemon trading card game is currently in a game stonks situation?
Oh,
it's really getting there. This part with Logan Paul and his posse, it almost like, at least for a certain subsect of the TCG boxes that are being sold.
I would argue that like this came as the precursor to it.
It's not quite the same. The GameStonks thing is a much more complicated thing. You can read my writing about that on comicbook.com. But it is basically, you know, that rapid rise, you know, follows the same basic tenets of supply and demand. There is a very limited supply of these cards. And it truly is unlike normal supply and demand, in which supply eventually is restocked and brings down demand. We're never going to get more first edition base set cards ever. You know, they were printed 25 years ago. There's only so many of these boxes that exist. And to your point, Jim, you're 100% correct. So eventually these are going to run out. I do like the fact that we're starting to see the hype start to move on to stuff like the Team Rocket cards and some of the other things. Quite frankly, I am more interested in like the second and third set of, you know, those second and, you know, not second, third generation, because it's all original, but the later years of the Wizards of the Coast stuff, you know, things of that nature. I think those cards are actually a lot more interesting. There's a lot of history behind them. Like the Team Rocket set is my favorite set of
It's got some of the best art.
Always has been. I own like every single one of those cards. Like I spent like hundreds of dollars to get my hands on those when I was like 12 years old. But you know,
I mean, and Zen P in the chat brings up a pretty good point, right? What percentage of people buying these cards are actually using them for playing? A very small amount.
None of them.
That kind of cash, you're putting it in a vault.
I do want to shout out our friend Steve from It's Super Effective, the other another very good Pokemon podcast. I'm putting a link into the chat for folks, and it'll be on Twitter if you guys want to see it for those listening. But basically, he put a YouTube video together that was basically like, you know, explaining the scam that is Pokemon card unboxing. It's a scam in the sense that people are paying crazy amounts of money for these box break events that like they can buy into, you know, let's say use Team Rocket, for example. Mm-hmm. You can pay $800 for, you know, for to open one pack, and that pack will be yours. And they get you hyped up in the sense that, you know, you may get something great, you may get something not. And like, it's in a way, oddly, it's like gambling, basically. So
high stakes gambling as well.
Yeah, it is. But like, even on a smaller scale, like, just take a recent pack, for example, like Vivid Voltage, for example, right? That box usually sells anywhere from $90 to $120 resale market, standard retail. There's 36 packs. If you buy a box, you're getting a box at $2 or $3 a pack. And then what you'll see is a ton of these YouTubers will and Twitch streamers or whatnot will say, all right, if you want to get in on this box break, and we'll sell the packs for, you know, $9, $10, depending on how hot, you know, that set is. And so they're, you know, they're making, you know, a bit to literally just open packs and just send you the cards. That kind of thing.
That is, you know, when I had never heard of this trend until it's the big Logan Paul thing, you know, yeah. When they, and then I was like, what the, and so I literally asked this, like, in our company, like, chat channel, like, what is this? Like, yeah. I mean,
a huge market as well.
Really crazy. And, you know, like, as someone who produces, you know, is a part of online content, like, I do understand the appeal of, like, getting a shout out during streams and stuff like that. That's like a key part of what we do, especially now that we've gone to Twitch and are doing this live. But at the same time, I think that, like, getting, you know, paying money for it is, you know, weird. It is weird. Like, and I understand that, you know, people subscribe and follow and stuff like that. And, like, you know, that entire thing. And that's a little bit different. But, you know, I don't quite, this is just, you know, I guess I'm just too old for this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very interesting market. And I don't want to spend too much time talking about this because more and more takes up a whole bunch of our time. But it's a fascinating market that has kind of already always existed in sports, has come to Pokemon, and I don't think we know what the net positive or negative is to the card fandom in a certain way just yet. I think it still needs to play out a little bit. It sucks for folks who may have had some of the original cards who, you know, may feel like they have missed out on something or whatnot. But again, there's always an opportunity to jump in on this stuff and play around. But again, it's like, it's at your own risk, and it's, you know, it is what it is. So anyway, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we got to talk about the Japanese man who got arrested for selling hacked Pokemon. All that and more when we get back. And we're back. I don't know what possessed me to do that, but anyway. There's so much news. Actually, I know I teased we would talk about the Japanese man arrested for selling $10,000 worth of hacked Pokemon, but we need to talk first about the Ditto chair cushion.
Yes, Jim. Let's talk about the Ditto cushion. Let's talk about it, Jim.
This is just a new entry in a long line of really weird things that the Pokemon Company has sold or is selling. So look, they sell a ton of, you know, they're like silicone gel kind of things that you could put on a chair if your office chair is uncomfortable, or if your kitchen chairs are uncomfortable, or you're using a kitchen chair to sit at sit at your office desk. Problem, Pokemon Company has you solved. You in Japan right now, because I'm sure it will come over, because this seems like something that would. You can buy a Ditto plush. It's a Ditto plush that basically you sit on.
Yes, and it is arranged in such a way that, you know, the bottom curves, you know, you place your legs in between like two of its like curves on the bottom, and yep. You sit. Well, you sit somewhere else, and I don't think I'm allowed to say that, you know, phrase on the
look,
podcast.
It's very weird that they have Ditto's face sitting up. Yes. I will just say that.
Yes.
That part is weird.
It is where you place the bulk of your weight. It is squarely in the emoji.
So yeah. Okay, but so a good question that was brought up in the chat is this from Zen PY again. Is this weirder than the Metapod sleeping bag? Is it weirder than the Gengar nap pod? Yes. Is it weirder than the giant ass, you know, Snorlax that would fill up apartments?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay, now you're making me say it, Jim.
This is we're saying this is the weirdest thing. It's not weirder than the giant
Ditto's face. You are sitting on Ditto's face. It's weird. There's no way to get around it. It's weird.
It's very uncomfortable. 10 out of 10. I don't care how uncomfortable my kitchen chair is. I don't care how uncomfortable, you know, the bleachers are at whatever concert I'm at. It is not worth that kind of spectacle for me to have. I would rather sleep in the Metapod sleeping bag in the middle of a crowded street than to willingly use that Ditto chair plush. I'm sorry.
Rival John's got a great new Pokemon Center merchandise idea. We need a Machamp coat hanger, basically, that just holds on to all your coats. I enjoy that one. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, I don't have to worry about it us going off on too much of a tangent. We can go back to Japanese man getting arrested for selling $10,000 worth of heck Pokemon. This is a weird story, so I'm gonna let you guys tee it up and just see
So the thing you have to understand is that in Japan, it is illegal to modify your save data. Okay. There's an actual law against this. So, you know, selling hacked Pokemon is a thing. It happens, you know, you can go onto eBay and find, you know, tons of listings where people are selling hacked Pokemon for like $4 or $5. You know, I'm not going to comment on the, whether it is good or bad, it is just simply a thing that, you know, people do. Yeah. In Japan, someone was caught selling a Sobble for, I think, like $40, the equivalent of $40, and they still, the city government, the city police department, went and conducted basically a investigation and found a Pokemon hacker who had sold about $10,000 worth of Pokemon. It was like 115,000 yen, which is the equivalent to about $10,000.
It's a lot.
And so he got arrested. And like the thing that caught it was he sold a Sobble for $40. And
all the Pokemon to get busted for. You're right. It has to be Sobble. That is so appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... The whole thing is really bizarre. Like, and it made news because, like, one, it's like, wait, what? He got arrested for this? And it's like, because he broke the law. Like, in Japan, you know, any hacked Pokemon comes from illegally altering save data. And, you know, this kind of explains some of the other stuff that you see going on in Pokemon, you know, right now. Like, we've talked about before in Sword and Shield, that, you know, they've had multiple band waves, and now those band waves are affecting Pokemon Home. Niantic has struggled for years to deal with various types of hacking, and that's more of a data spoofing issue, but it all, you know, kind of ties back to, like, this stuff is actually illegal in Japan.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's the thing too. Like I remember during, I think it was in between the DLCs, I got retargeted quite a bit on Facebook for like, we'll complete your Pokedex, like $40, and we'll complete your Sword and Shield Pokedex. And I was like, well, that's weird. And you have to like give them all sorts of information for them to like get in and do it. And you get all the Pokemon, they give them to you. But it just seems like a totally weird thing. I mean, I understand why people would want it. But it's like that. It's just like that weird kind of like dark corner of the internet kind of business where you're like, oh yeah, no, this. I mean, look, selling virtual goods is not a new thing. It's not like, people would buy gold for World of Warcraft. I remember that was like, I feel like one of the big first things that people were like, I could make money off selling my World of Warcraft crap. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah.
So I will know
that happened with. I mean,
yeah, right. Animal Crossing too.
I, I will note that if Jim were like 20 years younger, he'd totally be doing this. He'd be hacking these things and selling them on eBay. Not a chance. Like we all know you'd be seeing like, you know, Jim would 100% be doing this.
No, but that's like, what I mean. But that's the thing. Like I remember being a very early World of Warcraft player when this stuff started to drop, like started to hit. I'm like, one, the time investment for this stuff is a lot. And so like, mm-hmm. It was always just, and I knew like there were people had bots and things like that where, you know, to make some of that stuff happen. I just could not do it. but yeah, so anyway, totally interesting thing. Obviously, you know, if you're doing it here in the States, you don't have to worry too much. You know, hey, look, everyone's mileage may vary when it comes to this, and you know, sure, everyone has their reasons for doing it or not doing it. So I know we're not, you know, if you do it, good for you. All right, so we'll move on to the other kind of big surprising news. And I say it's surprising. It was surprising to me. Megan and Christian kind of saw it coming. But basically, Pokemon Journeys is coming to an end.
Yes, after months of, you know, screen tests and, you know, fan surveys and stuff, they realized the Go was just too toxic. The Suicune catch was too unbelievable. And so they're dumping the entire series. They're never going to reference again. No, in reality,
Don't troll the people. Don't troll
that
the
is,
people.
That is terrible sarcasm from Christian.
It is.
Everyone in our chat's panicking. It is not ending. Everyone calm down. They just trolled you so hard. All right,
Megan, give us what's really going on.
All right. So basically what happened is Netflix caused everyone to panic because they released a press statement a couple days ago, basically saying its final episodes of Pokemon Journeys will be coming to the U.S. service, I believe, in March. And so everyone latched on to where it said final episodes of Pokemon Journeys and panicked because they were like, what do you mean? It's still going on in Japan. What's happening? There's no lapse in schedule for Japan. So basically what this kind of means is basically like how Pokemon Sun and Moon had a rebranded second half of the series, Ultra Beast, like Ultra Legends. That's basically what's probably going to be happening with Pokemon Journeys. We're going to more than likely get a rebranded kind of subheader for the anime series that Netflix can tout as a new series to kind of make it look a little bit sexier for viewers. At this point, we don't have a confirmed name or kind of any details in that regard. We'll probably get some more closer to like, you know, Pokemon Day. But as Hoffer has mentioned before, previous episodes, it sounds likely that it's going to end up being like Pokemon Journeys Legends or Pokemon Legends, as we've had that name leak before in website URLs coming from Japan. So seems like we're just going to change the name, basically.
So as a note, I saw in the chat that, you know, Rival John Point asked if, you know, that Japan doesn't do the whole seasons things and like the United States. They do and they don't. It's probably, you know, Pokemon is one of the few, you know, series that has a year round schedule. There's a few others. One Piece is a very notable anime that runs year round up until it was announced that it was ending. Black Clover is another one. So there are a few of these that, you know, run just year round, but most of them do have seasons or series, because there's never a guarantee that these things will get renewed like you'd expect. It is not the anime the anime industry does not like act like clockwork like, you know, the American television industry does.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and this is more me asking a question because I'm not sure. It feels like anime lives or dies more by will we get another arc or not, right? Like, it's not necessarily, you know, there have been some instances where, like, animes have been able to come to an end, but, like, whether or not it's, like, they have to take a break or whatever. Like, I you know, I used, like, Dragon Ball, for example, right? Like, you know, they feels like they plan out X amount of arcs, and they go, okay, we're going to go take a break, and then maybe we'll come back. Is that on target there or am I way off?
I mean, it really just totally depends on the source material. So that's why Pokemon is so weird, because it's its own thing separate from the games that kind of coexist in tandem but are not intersecting in almost any way, shape, or form. So for Dragon Ball, I mean, they just ran out of kind of content to adapt from the manga. So they were just like, all right, well, we're just going to get some more stuff and hopefully they'll be coming back. One Piece, for the other I mean, it goes year round because the manga is very far ahead of where the anime is. So it just totally depends on how far the source material is planned with the studio team that's working on it. So Pokemon, we've always kind of been left in like a, we have no idea what's happening. We don't have a manga to go off of. It's not necessarily based directly on the video games. And Pokemon Journeys is even more unique because it is very removed from what Pokemon Sword and Shield is, which is the generation that Journeys is tied to. It's not an exact one-to-one replica as we've seen, while it does borrow from the, you know, Galar region, the Galarian Pokemon. So it's interesting. We really have no idea what's coming, which is nice for us. The biggest tease, again, as I've said, and Hoffer's mentioned it, is that there has been a website URL copyright for like Pokemon Legends, Pokemon Journey Legends, which sounds like we're going to move more into kind of the legendary Pokemon, which would be interesting if Pokemon Journeys now kind of takes a turn and we focus on like the DLC regions. Like if we go to the Crown Tundra, where all of the legendary Pokemon can be found in the cave systems. So we're likely probably moving in that direction. And then as we get closer to, you know, the next generation for the Pokemon games, we'll kind of get more teases for the next anime season, which hopefully will not involve Go.
Nice. All right. Well, with that, let's move on to some other Pokemon stuff. I guess it was last week, the Pokemon Center is releasing a new set of pins that are based off the colored pixels from I forget which game, but
it's the current sprites.
They're the
menu sprites.
Yep. For your three starting evolutions, so Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Charmander, all the way up through, and Pikachu, and Raichu. Not gonna lie, Pikachu and Raichu ones are probably my favorite of the sets. But otherwise, like I said, they're very, very cool. They're a little on the pricier side for a set of pins, three pins for about $20. Christian says, no, I'm cheap when it comes to pins. So
I was about to say they are exactly the same price as every other pin set on the Pokemon Center.
Yes. As far as for the Pokemon Center, to me, I think the Pokemon Center overprices, pins in general, but, anyway.
Yeah,
they're there. So go check them out. We have a story on the site if you want to do them. They're really, really cool. I may splurge for the Pikachu set because that one is my favorite of them. But
and it's the cheapest because those are only 13 because there's only two.
Yeah. Yep. And because I'm cheap, basically. All right. There is a Sword and Shield giveaway happening at GameStop.
It has not been officially announced yet, but it has been leaked. It's a shiny Toxtricity. This is a tie-in with Shining Fates, which, you know, you won't be able to get any of the Shining Fates cards, but you can get a shiny Toxtricity as a consolation prize.
Imagine if you walked into that GameStop just to get your Toxtricity, and there they have the Shining Fates cards. I mean, woo.
Buy it. If you see that, buy it.
Now, the interesting thing is this is the first time the Pokemon Pass has gotten used in like over a year.
Yeah. what the heck?
So that is, you know, the big thing. And it's partially to minimize, you just have to scan a QR code. What will be interesting is if that QR code, you know, can work remotely. So, you know, like, I don't know if individual stores get individual QR codes or if it's going to be like, you know, all the GameStops get the same QR code. Someone can post it online and you can use your Pokemon Pass without ever leaving your home because some of us don't leave our homes because it's a pandemic.
So if you see one of those QR codes, tag us at Pokemon Pod CB and we will retweet it for all our other fans and listeners to get their shiny Toxtricity if it works. So there we go. All right. Last week, we talked about the Levi's collaboration with Pokemon. And Oh, it looks like their Zen PY is saying the Pass app has to scan it within the location of a certain place. So it may actually be location locked
there
based off, you know, your phone or whatever. So thank you for that.
It's been so long since I've used Pokemon Pass. I couldn't remember.
All right. So back to the Levi's collaboration. We showed the absolutely amazing denim that was being sold by Levi's in collaboration with the Pokemon Company for the 25th anniversary. What they didn't release at the time was a new kind of outfit, basically, that is for everyone's favorite friend of Ash, Misty, which I thought was pretty cool. My favorite friend of Ash.
There we go. There we go. There's the truth. Yeah, no, this is super cool. Basically, if you've ever wanted to look like Misty does in the original anime, Levi's is reproducing, replicating that outfit, the high-waisted, you know, cut-off cuffed jean shorts and the kind of yellow crop top. They're just recreating it that you can buy. It is going to be expensive. So just go ahead and have that, you know, prepared with your wallet and your budgeting. But yeah, I mean, if you want kind of like an officially licensed Pokemon collaboration of Levi approved Misty's outfit, that's going to be coming out. It looks pretty sick. If you look at the collaboration itself, it looks pretty much spot on to the anime. So if you're really looking to get into cosplaying once, you know, conventions come back post pandemic, this is going to be a pretty easy way for you to get into it.
Still trying to convince my wife to let me buy a pair of jeans with Pikachu on the butt. See if it
How's
happens.
That going?
But does it come with the suspenders? Do we know?
Like, yes.
It's the whole thing.
So it is. The suspenders are built into the shorts.
Okay.
The whole thing. So, I mean, that's going to be really easy for people who are just kind of getting into this. If you love Misty, like Jim. So, Jim, if you really want to rock this outfit, please.
Oh man,
Misty can be for anybody.
Hold on. I do want to show it. Richard, can you pull up the episode thumbnail for the show? There it is. So there, if you want to see it, that is what it looks like. There's the yellow crop top, the jean shorts, and the red suspenders.
Yes. Shout out to you in the comments, Acme White, saying that they can't wait to get it, and they are also a guy. I love this. It is not a gender specific outfit. If you want to be Misty, be Misty.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Richard, for that one. All right. Let's move on to the next item because we still got to roll through a bunch of stuff. We're running out of time.
Breaking news, Jim. Breaking news.
Oh, no.
Breaking news. They're coming out with more Pokemon cards.
Oh.
You tell.
This one, someone's been listening to Megan as, Japan is getting an Eevee Heroes expansion, which will be basically all Eevee cards all the time.
Yes!
All eight Eevee evolutions will get V cards, and at least four of them will get VMAX cards. It is possible that the other four will also get VMAX cards as part of like special like promotional not promotional items, but they're releasing bundles with this. And so these cards will likely come to the United States as part of our August set. I am curious to see if it is possible just because there's a lot of these things. Eight Eevee cards, like considering that usually a Pokemon card set expansion has like 12 to 16 V cards and like five VMAX cards, if they're really just going to be like Eevees. I
love it. I hope they do.
I am always of the position we need more Eevee. All the Eevee.
But it's been a while. It's been a while since some of the evolutions have really gotten cards.
They've gotten cards, but this is the first time that they're getting like good cards.
Somebody who loves the TCG, I never get to really use Eevee in any of my decks because they suck. They are not good. They're worth framing sometimes because the art's pretty. I want one that I can use in my decks. I need this right
even
now.
The Eevee VMAX card that they came out with, I can't remember what set it was, is pretty underwhelming in terms of a VMAX card. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of other cool things that are coming out with this. The game, likely Sylveon's going to be a fairy type. or not fairy type, a psychic type in this. But one of the big things is, as part of this, like the recent set announcements are coming out, there's going to be a new like Gengar VMAX card that's going to be dark type instead of psychic type, which that's like the first time that Gengar has gotten a dark type instead of a psychic type, which that's at least to me is pretty interesting, because you know, it's just something pretty different. So you know, Pokemon trading card game still continuing to mix it up. We'll see how much of that makes it over to the United States.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to our regularly scheduled program.
Also, it's slight tangent breaking news, but not necessarily like super related. But Justice Smith, who was in Detective Pikachu as the main character, just got cast in the Dungeons and Dragons movie, which falls square into Christian's wheelhouse. But I just thought that would be a little tidbit of something exciting news.
Yeah.
So as that began, look, I thought Justice was one of the best parts of Detective Pikachu, and so I'm excited to see more of him as an actor. I would love to see him come back to you know, the Detective Pikachu franchise. I truly hope that isn't just a one and done thing. I think it probably will be. I can't imagine Lionsgate's going to have the license for that much longer to do it. But you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, like in terms of the casting, I'm really glad this movie is shaping up to be weird, because it's got Chris Pine as the lead. Justin Smith is likely going to be like the sub lead, like, you know, the secondary male lead. And Michelle Rodriguez is being cast as like the main female. And so depending on how much of the last script that got used, Michelle Rodriguez will likely be an elf, which that's, you know, I'm only familiar with Michelle Rodriguez from really the Fast and Furious franchise and also the Avatar franchise I'm not the biggest Michelle Rodriguez fan, so we'll see. Chris Pine I love, Justin Smith I love, just not the biggest Michelle Rodriguez fan, but I get it. She's you know, her name has never been bigger in Hollywood because of those car movies.
Love those fast movies. All right, let's move on to the last news item of the day, and then Pokemon Fact of the Week and get out of here. This week, I believe starting tomorrow, February 9th, the Pokemon / McDonald's promotion starts. Now, here's... In some places?
Well, it's all based on the individual restaurant. So,
We're in participating locations, basically. Yes. But, but that, like, usually is most of. Here's the interesting thing though. When there is McDonald's toy fever, or for something that people think that they want to get, people will go to their local McDonald's and say, "I will buy every one that you have in the back." And I suspect that's going to happen here.
So the rarest card seems to be Pikachu. Now mind you, you know, some people have already gotten cards, so they're kind of trying to trace it out. And you know, in the limited packs that have been opened so far, Pikachu does seem to be the rare one. These, you know, it'll be interesting because some of the strange things are is that there's like I think the set comes with both foil and non-foil of all the cards, so this is like technically like a 50 card set.
So this is kind of like the Detective Pikachu promos they did.
Because
they had foil variants of all of the cards. Card was a bit like the Charizard was perceived to be a little bit more rare because it was Charizard. But I think at the end of the day, there was a Pikachu chase that was in there that ended up being the rarest of those cards. But anyway, they had a foil set to go with the normal card set.
I believe you are correct. So yeah, that technically starts up this week. You know, the weird thing is neither McDonald's nor the Pokemon Company has like officially announced it. Which is just bizarre. So who knows what the heck's going on there? Like, you know,
and if you go to Burger King, Nintendo has a whole toy thing going on, so you can get like Animal Crossing, Mario. I mean, it's not Pokemon, but if you were just looking to get all the fast food Nintendo video game toys right now, just hit up McDonald's for lunch and Burger King for dinner, and you will probably really regret your dietary choices for the day, but you'll have some toys.
Anyways, that starts this week. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna try and get some for myself just for the fun of it. Look, I have a kid and she just loves ripping open Pokemon cards. And so we'll see what we get. Maybe what I'll do is I'll try and save one for us to open live next week.
No.
How fun would that be?
We'll do an unboxing.
Man, you know, and trust me, the card openings are some of my favorite things to do because, you know, if you've ever seen one of those past ones, it's basically just an hour of me making fun of Jim as he doesn't get any rare cards. And I just mock him mercilessly for an hour.
Well, I enjoy doing them with Megan, one, because I don't get mocked as mercilessly, but because Megan and I have this, have the game going where we have adopted Leonhardt's Guess the Energy game, and I am very much beating Megan on that.
Oh, game, I'm so. The actual worst at this game. I am like in the negatives at this point.
So look at that. I will try and get my hands on some of those cards for next week, and we will do a live McDonald's unboxing on the show. So if you are a listener and you want to get in on that fun, you got to make sure you come to twitch.tv/comicbook on next Monday, 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Jim, are you going to sell those cards to a lucky fan?
No, I won't. I'm not going to sell them. I'll probably just give them away to our fans. Christian, get the hell out of here with that crap. Anyway, wow. Christian, give us the Pokemon fact of the week so we can get out of here.
So this is like one of my favorite things I've ever freaking heard. So Eevee, you know, one of the most popular Pokemon of all time. There has been plenty of discussion over what is Eevee. Is it a cat, a dog, a fox? Like, who knows? And the question is, so the creator of Eevee, who is Motofumi Fujiwara, had this encounter as a child where he saw a fluffy creature in the woods, and he didn't know what the fluffy creature was. And that inspired him to make Eevee, which is neither cat, dog, nor anything else. So it was basically, he had like some like zoological experience off in the woods in Japan and was inspired to create a Pokemon based off of it when he grew up. And that just, I just died when I heard that, because I, you know, basically since my earliest days, there's been a big debate over what is Eevee, because he's got like the paws of a cat, but he's got like kind of like, you know, fox ears ish. Not really. Mm-hmm. They're like rabbit ears, but you know, it's like, you know, and then it's, because it's Pokemon, people are like, no, it's a dog. And it's like, it's not a dog. Why do people keep thinking everything's a dog?
Let's ask the chat. You can't mix. Chat, is Eevee a cat, dog, or fox?
The answer to this question is that the creator of Eevee obviously stumbled into some sort of weird Narnia portal and entered like Hayao Miyazaki Studio Ghibli's version of Japan and found like a Studio Ghibli animal. That is Eevee. So somewhere in that universe, I am convinced Studio Ghibli and Eevee exist, that he came back and put it into the Pokemon franchise.
Okay, the chat is giving me semantics right now, and I don't necessarily appreciate the semantics.
Ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer, Jim.
I mean, what's I'm like Pokemon? Just classifying everyone who's saying that Eevee is just a cute ball of fluff. I think that is an accurate answer.
Yeah.
It's just one thing, so we're good. Cute ball of fluff.
There was also like, Huckleberry Flynn says Eevee turns into more dog-looking creatures, and so I would agree that it is more dog than anything else.
Have people ever seen a dog?
No, hold up.
I've seen plenty of dogs. I own two dogs.
Resident Eevee expert here. Which evolutions are you saying looks like a dog? I mean,
Flareon looks like a dog. Jolteon.
Have you ever
Jolteon looks like a dog.
Have you ever seen a Persian cat before?
Come on.
No way. This is like saying Suicune or like those animals are dogs when they're like ears or whatever.
Yeah, they're literally cats. Like one of them has fangs. And they're like, obviously it's like there's a saber-toothed tiger. It's like, this is literally the meme of a butterfly. And it would just be of the butterfly and Pokemon fans going, is this a dog?
I mean, yes, I will agree. Jolteon is the only one that kind of gives me dog vibes. That is just about the only one that I can.
What? Vaporeon gives me dog vibes.
No, it doesn't.
So does Umbreon. So does Umbreon.
Have you?
Umbreon is literally a cat.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
This is the new argument.
Jim, like, how does this resemble a freaking, look at it. It's hissing like a freaking cat.
You guys are very clearly cat people, and so you want to see cats.
I will go grab my cat right now.
Yeah, grab your cat so everyone can be like, oh, thank look you. At the two thank dogs you. That you thank have, you, Megan.
Pokefan, Vaporeon is a flipping dog seal. Yes.
No, nope. Acme White made your cat vibes. It's all matters.
I am shocked. This is right here why people call these things legendary dogs. Like right here. It's like literally it's like, yes, we based this thing off of a literal mythical lion. And people are like, oh my god, is that a dog? Look at these awesome dogs. Like every time that I see the words like legendary dogs, like you know, someone's like, oh, Christian was triggered. That triggers me. Legendary dogs actually just like I like start flipping tables and it's just like not a freaking dog.
Oh yeah, you guys are well, anyway, we will let the discussion, we'll call it, continue on Twitter. If you want to, make sure you're following the show's page at PokemonPodCB. Otherwise, you can tell me why I'm right and Eevee is basically a dog at Jim Biscardi on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at MeganPeterCB to agree that I'm correct and that Jim is incorrect here.
And if you can find me at Seahoff or Seabus, and if you come with me with that dog nonsense, I'll just block you.
if you want to find other ways to support the show, there's a number of ways you can do it. If you are on Twitch and you are a Twitch watcher and you want to find a way to support the show, one, hit that follow button. Make sure you can not only follow this show, but we have Comic Book Nation on Wednesdays and our Marvel show, Phase Zero on Fridays. If you are an Amazon Prime subscriber and you want to find an additional way on Twitch, give us that Prime sub, man. Just go to the subscribe, use your Prime subscription. We appreciate that. We have emotes and subscriber badges coming on the way. So you want to definitely be on the forefront of that.
Am I getting an emote?
Oh, we're getting emotes. You're not getting an emote, but we are getting emotes. Anyway, tell friends about the show, whether it is on Twitter, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Instagram or what. Like, you know, what I actually saw this week, which was really, really cool. Someone was listening to the show on Spotify, and Spotify has that great integration with Instagram, and they shared that they were listening to a wild podcast via that way. So all really cool ways to just, you know, help get the word out about our little Pokemon podcast. We love everyone who comes to watch us live. We love everyone who listens to us on demand. New shows every Monday, sometime after we go, you know, we finish up here at around 12 Central or whatever. Anyway, I have gone on long enough. We will catch you next week where we will unbox and unpack some McDonald's cards and so much more. We'll catch you later.